Game Time is supported by South Dakota Career and Technical Student Organizations. Learn more at sdctso.org.
Coming up on Game Time, last Friday was chock full of thrillers. We'll get you caught up on the biggest games from last week. Plus, which coach said what? We play a little matching game that informs and entertains. And then, as always, we'll dig deep into the top tilts coming up this Friday. All next on Game Time.
Another week of Game Time here on SDPB. I'm Nate Weck, joined as always by Jason Andera. Jandy, last week you were the pigskin professor, I guess we could say, as we did a lot of grades and things like that with the standings and stuff, and we graded the media. But this week we're going to do something a little different, and we're going to do coach talk, which coach said what, which should be a lot of fun a little later in the program.
It's kind of fun. I try to gather information from coaches all the way from the preseason up until week by week, and I kind of gathered all that from the inbox and from my voicemail and from all the ways that I get information, and we'll spew that out and make it fun, I hope. Yep. That's what we're trying for.
Absolutely. Well, as always, let's start it off with the headlines for the week. And maybe this week, maybe it's not even so much the headlines. It was hinted at in the open, but the thrillers that we had this week. Tons of thrillers, games that came down to the wire. All right, well, let's just jump right into it. Let's start right away. O'Gorman and Jefferson. This was a back-and-forth game. It came down to kicking. You had Rylan Cody hit a 22-yard field goal to go ahead 32-29. Just over 2 minutes left when that happened. Jefferson did have an opportunity to move down the field, but ended up settling for a 38-yard field goal attempt to tie it, and it just didn't go in. It was just one of those games.
Yeah, you had a back-and-forth game here. O'Gorman kept putting pressure on. They were able to throw for over 300 yards in the game. Jefferson was able to run, but Jefferson's been in a couple of these games that have been really close, and they just couldn't quite cinch it at the end. And O'Gorman gets that, I guess you call it an upset win, but it really, these are two teams that are right in the same category.
Now, Washington and Lincoln, another really close game in 11 AAA.
Yeah, this one was unbelievable. I mean, coming in, we were just talking about Lincoln averaging 56 points per game. Washington, they got a different brand that they came up to this game, and they charged out to a 21-6 lead in this one. And a big part of that was getting Jace Woods back. He made an incredible touchdown catch. He was amazing.
Yeah, and then you had an opportunity right at the end. And we've been saying it all year, you know, Lincoln's defense, once they come around, and at the end of the game, it was Lincoln's defense that stood up and got Lincoln the win.
Yeah, Washington had a chance right at the end of the game. They got a touchdown from Devion Bonwell-Witty, got the ball back after giving it to Lincoln, had a chance again to take the lead. I thought Washington was out, down on the mat, and they kept coming back. But you're right, it was the Lincoln defense that stood up at the end of the game.
And then we had Yankton versus Pierre. Now, this one was another one that we were incredibly interested at. Yankton was just coming off that big loss to Harrisburg. How are they going to rebound against a team that a lot of people are thinking, you know, is one of those teams in Pierre that's going to be in that conversation at the end of the year? And ultimately, it was Yankton that came out with a narrow victory.
Yeah, they took a 21-7 lead into halftime. It was their homecoming. They were charged up. But then Pierre scores 21 of the next 28, including a touchdown with 46 seconds left from Caleb Lounsbury to Jaron Deal, who caught two touchdowns on the day, by the way. And then they punched in the two-point conversion from Porter Hunsley. So they tie it up. Yankton has to make something happen in the last minute of the game, and they do with Tate Bestey. That quarterback has been amazing this year, and his top target, Owen Eidsness, caught two passes on that drive, including the game winner on homecoming. Pretty cool way to finish it off for the Bucks.
And then you had Huron. The game was in Huron, by the way, taking on Spearfish. We've been giving Spearfish some props as well. We've certainly been giving Huron some props as well, just because of the winning streak that they've been on. But this was another one. It kind of looked like maybe it was going to be Spearfish that came away with it. Spearfish inched within 2 points with about 2.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. But the Tigers, they took control late, and that's what got them the win.
Exactly. And defense again, a big defensive stand for Huron. Ty Kleinsaucer, just watching that game, popped out on the gridiron because he was making plays left and right against a really explosive Spearfish offense with Thomas Hughes throwing the ball for them. So I got to give props defensively. But Anderson Porsche, and he's in the game changer list for a reason. He came up big for Huron, and we'll talk about his stats in a little bit.
And then we also talked about this one, you know, T and Mitchell.
Yeah. Didn't expect this one.
Right. And here comes, you know, Mitchell was just hanging right in there with T. And this one, even it took more than four quarters to figure out the winner.
Yeah, T trailed 14-6 with under a minute left in the game. Their quarterback, Mitch Grant, he tied the tying touchdown with 31 seconds left. So once again, we're coming right down to the end of the game. But it was Cameron Hillstead who blocked the extra point, who forces overtime. And then T would finally find a way in overtime. But this was a Mitchell team that, you know, they won the first game of the year, but haven't won since then. I'll tell you what, they made a huge improvement. Colton Smith, the basketball player who's been dominating for them since, you know, he was a freshman basically, he came out for football this year, and he made a huge impact. His second week in a row, scoring a defensive touchdown, had some tackles for loss. He made a real impact on that game. And then T is still without their best player, Brenner Conrad. So that evened things up a little bit, but I mean, both of these teams are going to take a different message away from this game, and T's is not so good.
Right, and, you know, T, okay, what do coaches say when you go on the road? You got to take care of the football. They had four turnovers in that game, which allowed Mitchell to stay in it. And I think that's, you know, ultimately just going to be an obvious talking point if you're in the T locker room this week is, guys, we got to just find a way to take a little bit better care of the ball.
Yeah, you can't blame anything when you're turning the ball over that much. And, you know, they've got a young quarterback. They've got a good team, a good solid team. But they still have to evolve if they want to play with the contenders.
I will say it's always easier to make corrections when you can also walk away with a win.
Yeah, that is nice. Better than a tie for you Packer fans. Sorry about that.
And then let's talk about Duel and Sioux Valley as well. You know, Sioux Valley, they scored twice in the fourth quarter to tie the game after trailing 40-28. Yeah. And then it was Aiden Severs finding Oliver Fieber as time expired to keep the Duel Cardinals perfect. I mean, it doesn't come down to the wire much closer.
You don't have walk-offs too often in football. That was a true walk-off. And Duel, that one surprised me. That one popped off the page. Like, I didn't think they would be able to play with Sioux Valley. And now Sioux Valley's lost a couple of games in a row. They have to be concerned. And Duel is still undefeated in 11B. So that makes things that much more interesting in that class.
And then Sully Buttes won it right at the end as well. You know, they were up 22-0 in the second quarter, and here comes Falkton. You know, they came back. You know, they did score right at the end of the half to make it 22-8, which I think helped Falkton. The Trojans, you know, then would come all the way back. They'd tie it in the third. And then almost a walk-off, but with 13 seconds left, it was Wesley Whitler hitting Gavin Colson for the score to give Sully Buttes the 30-22 victory.
This one surprised a lot of nine-man coaches because we knew Sully Buttes was good, but Falkton has had a tremendously tough schedule this year, and they competed toe-to-toe with the top team after getting down by three scores in this game. Showed a lot of resilience. It shows that Falkton can play with teams, but it also is a great win for Sully Buttes. That's a great confidence win for them.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and as we do every week, and we're going to go over some of these kids that were in some of these thrilling games, but let's go to the game changers because there was a lot of kids once again this week that showed up for their teams and helped lead them to victory.
Yeah, Jai Bailey out of Platte Geddes has had 2 weeks in a row with, you know, producing, you know, four or five touchdowns or more. He had a huge day running the football and with 275 yards and four touchdowns. Also good defensively. Tremier Hansen of Del Rapids St. Mary got a big win. They put up 78 points as a team. He had a big part in that with three touchdowns. Bryce Hawkinson doing it on offense and defense, running the ball, and then getting a defensive interception as well. Cole Herman out of Kadoka area, 200-yard game with two touchdowns. Chase Hermanson, we talked about it with O'Gorman, a 300-yard passing day for O'Gorman. Jason Papaga finally has a quarterback. He loves it when he's got a good quarterback. He's got a good quarterback this year in Chase Hermanson. Yeah, he was huge in that win over Jefferson. Mason Jervik, they put up 70 points with Parkston. He had a big part in that, not only offensively, but getting a special teams touchdown as well. We always talk about defense with Brandon Valley. Chase Leary, five tackles, two for loss, two sacks, and a fumble recovery. Big win for them over Rapid City Central. Anderson Porish, the quarterback out of Huron, was able to run the ball, but throw it through the air for 204 yards and four strikes in the air. Huron, we talk about their defense a lot, but he's a huge part of that offense.
To have a quarterback that can use his legs, that's putting up performances with four touchdowns through the air with 200 plus yards aerial as well. That kind of stuff is just going to complement that defense.
That's huge. Max Saxon out of Mobridge Pollock went for over almost 200 yards and four touchdowns. He was banged up a little bit in the end of that game, so we'll have to keep an eye on him and see how he is in the coming weeks. Aiden Sievers, we talked about his walk-off touchdown pass. That was one of his four touchdowns on the day. Levi Veskerna out of Brandon Valley went for 121 yards, over 10 yards a carry, and four touchdowns in that Rapid City Central game. Jackson Wadsworth threw the ball for 162 yards. Half of his completions went for touchdowns. That was big. Slayton Wilkinson out of DeSmet, they got a big win over Florence Henry, and he filled up the stat sheet. Almost 200 yards rushing, caught a couple of passes, both for touchdowns, 12 tackles, two interceptions, and took one back to the house. That is a full box score.
Yeah, and his name is Wilkinson, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of Wilkinsons out there.
Makes sense out of the smell.
I'm sure Grant had a big day as well, and there's other Wilkinsons cheering those guys on. But Slayton, he's had a big year for DeSmet. Yeah. That was huge. And then Wesley Whitler, again, clutch at the end of that game, but really efficient in the passing game, was also able to generate a touchdown offensively. That's just a few of the big game changers we found, and we have to thank you guys for sending those in every week and continue to communicate. I love hearing from you.
A couple real quick things here on some of the up and coming things outside of football that we wanted to just touch base on real quick is, because it's fall and now the calendar is going to be flipping to October, that means we've got the girls state tennis tournaments that are going to be starting next week. And then we also have the fall golf tournaments with AA and A boys. So those will both be coming up Monday, Tuesday next week. You got girls A tennis Monday, Tuesday next week. Thursday, Friday next week is AA girls tennis. So, I mean, we're in championship mode now at SDPB, and we'll have full coverage of all the results and things like that. So make sure you check out SDPB Sports on all the social media platforms.
Another announcement we just announced yesterday, we renewed the contract to do South Dakota High School Activity Association events, and that's awesome that we can continue to bring you not only football like we do on this show, but all the sports and all their championship seasons.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Jandy, you and I have talked about this. It's always a process, right? Like, you know, when it comes into a contract year and stuff like that, there's always, you know, conversations and stuff like that take place. But I think I can speak for everybody at SDPB that we are super stoked to be able to continue doing the high school championships and all the fine arts events, the all-state fine arts events and things like that too.
I'm excited. It's a big deal. This is my first time around really getting the full umbrella of what we do at SDPB. And I'm super impressed and glad to be part of it. So that's been awesome.
Well, I think it's time, Jandy, that we switch gears and get to the Coach Talk inbox.
Yeah.
How does that sound?
It's a different segment. I've been dreaming up different ways to make this show interesting. And I have a chance to reach out to coaches at the beginning of the year. I try to stay in touch throughout the year, you know, whether it's a phone call, a message, whether I go interview them in person. And I kind of keep all that information throughout the year. So some of these quotes aren't from this week. Some of them are.
Yep.
And it just gives us maybe an idea of what's going through the coaches' heads here.
All right. Well, let's just start it off with 9B. So I'll just go through these real quick. My younger players have stepped into some big roles quicker than they normally have to. Right now, we start six different freshmen.
Okay.
We will have a balanced running attack with multiple guys that can run the ball well. We are hoping to make a deeper run in the playoffs than last year.
Mm-hmm.
We have played a really good schedule so far. We have lost to some good teams. We have a lot of guys getting first real taste of varsity experience. All right,
okay.
So there's three options here, Jandy. Match them up.
So we got Falkton's coach Shane Gaditz, Justin Lucas from Avon, or Tom Moore from Sully Butte. So I know, I mean, obviously I know these, but you guys take a guess. Who do you think said, my younger players have stepped up? It's got to be Sully Butte's coach, Tom Moore, because they had some All-State players coming back, but they needed some guys to step up, and they have. The balanced running attack with multiple guys who can run the ball well, that's Avon. They relied on one guy to run the ball for him last year, and this year they're getting plenty of support from different guys, so that's been awesome. And then we've had a really tough schedule so far. That's as far as I need to read, and I know it's Falkton because they have played all the nine-man teams in all the different classes and really tested themselves, including last week against Sully Buttes.
All right. Well, there you have it for 9B. I knew I could pick out, you know, which one Sully Buttes was not, because they were the defending champions.
Right,
coming
so they
into
can't
it.
Get so, further. So,
right,
you
so they couldn't get further.
That's
so great. I knew that one right out the gate. But, all right, let's go to quickly to 9A then next. I've never had this kind of size up front. We've got some horses up front and skills in the back. We do have some good tall tight ends to throw the ball to as well. I believe we will get much better every game we play. These guys have talent, but they need a lot of reps. Our O-line has been really good, but we are missing two starters since week one. So hopefully we get them back soon. All right, okay. Take a stab at this.
This is where we learn a little bit about these teams. These are kind of informative. Sometimes coach talk is just blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But I tried to pick ones that really told us a story. So, you know, I've never had this kind of size up front. That's Lex Heathershaw out of Wall. He's got a 300-pounder up there. I mean, his championship team, I think he averaged 175 maybe up front. This year they averaged like between 225 and 250. They got some big boys up there. We've got some good tall tight ends. I believe we're going to get much better every game we play. That's a great hint for Howard, because the way they started out the year,
yep,
they struggled a little bit out of Alcester Regiment, but they've been improving each and every week. So that's Pat Rimmel's job, is to get them ready for the postseason, and I think he has. And our O-line has been really good, but we've been missing two starters since week one. That's an interesting fact from Bruce Hansen at Platte Geddes. I've played with some injuries and still gone undefeated so far, but they needed a real test coming up to see where they're at. They're getting that big test coming up this week, so we'll see. We'll kind of keep them under the radar for now, but that's a team definitely to keep an eye on.
One of the consistent things I'm seeing here, Jandy, is a lot of coaches are saying, my guys just need reps, right?
Yeah, and guys need reps. I mean, this is high school football. Yep. You get your chance maybe 1 or 2 years, and, get thrown into the mix is tough.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's move over to 9AA, the top class in nine-man football. We are as competitive as last year's group. I would say we aren't as fast, but we play hard. This year's senior class is where the bulk of our dudes are at. We have a good core group. The biggest difference between this team and last year's is the physicality at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and then the amount of competition that we have at practice. I love that one. Competition at practice.
Competition at practice. That is awesome. I mean, you could say with the competition at practice, you could say Brett Eckert from Hill City, because he was talking to me about how they really have to be competitive at practice because they don't get the same type of schedule. But it was actually not Brett Eckert. He actually said this year's senior class is where the bulk of our dudes are at. They came on the scene last year, but he felt like they had room to improve, and they really have so far this year. We are as competitive as last year's group, but maybe not as fast. That's Jeff Sheehan, the champions from 9AA.
Yep, that's Hamlin.
From Hamlin, and I think he's right. Like, they've got qualities that are as good or better than last year, but maybe not quite the speed that they had. And then our last one, Dustin Cheddar out of Freeman Marion, Freeman Academy, said the biggest difference he thinks is that physicality at the line of scrimmage and that competition at practice. They've just got really good depth right there at the Phoenix this year, and that's what's gotten them over the hurdle, winning those games that they had trouble winning the last couple years.
Win in the trenches on the offensive side of the ball, win in the trenches on the defensive side of the ball, you're going to win a lot of football games.
Yes.
So Coach Cheddar's got to be incredibly thrilled with how his big guys have been so far.
He should be.
Going to 11B, last year we were a lot more of a ball control team. This year we feel like we can score in bunches. Our line continues to get better and better each week. We are becoming more and more balanced as the season rolls on. We have some dynamic playmakers on offense and defense that will allow us to be versatile in our style of play. I am excited to see what this team can achieve throughout the season. All right.
Okay, these are interesting. Last year, we were a lot more of a ball control team. This year, we can score in bunches. That goes to Mobridge Pollock's coach, Donovan Flaherty, and he's right. They are a ball control team, but they are more electric this year, and they've got the biggest point differential of anybody in 11B because they've been putting up points in bunches, so that's definitely true. Our line continues to get better each week. We're becoming more and more balanced as the season rolls on. Now, that would be a tough one if you didn't understand what he means by balance. This is Jake Terry of Elk Point Jefferson. He's not saying balance, run, and pass. He's saying balance like we don't have one guy that we focus on. We give it to several different players on the team, And that's been the balance that they've achieved. And his line has gotten better and better each week. And then we have some dynamic playmakers on offense and defense. They are excited to see what can happen. That's Michael Schmitz out of Woonsocket, Wessington Springs, Sanborn Central. And we didn't know what to expect from them this year, and they have hit all their marks so far, undefeated on the season.
Yeah, very fun. This is one of the more exciting classes of football in 11B this year. We just don't really know how it's all going to pan out. Oh. There's no clear, straight-cut favorite.
I don't think so, and I talked with Austin Hagen last week at a St. Thomas More, and he said the same thing. Like, it's so hard to pick a favorite right now. It could still be somebody who's not even ranked who gets this thing done.
Yeah, and that makes it fun for everybody. 11A, offensively, we're getting a little bit better each week, which is obviously the goal. We are still making some mistakes with the routes, footwork, and pass protection, and some inexperienced players, but they're improving. Our O-line was a big question mark going into the year, as well as what our offense identity was going to be. Our offensive line has improved every week and is becoming more confident with each game that they've played. If you were talking last year to this year, I would say our biggest improvement is our execution on our offensive line and our ability to take care of the football. A lot of offensive line props here.
A lot of offensive line talks. Let's start with the offense getting a little better each week. That's probably an understatement, but that's Jared Smith out of Sioux Falls Christian. I think their offense is improving in leaps and bounds every week, and that's really added to that solid defense that we've already talked about. Our offensive line was a big question mark going into this year. That was West Central, and it was, because there's a lot of unknowns. Brand new coach and Matt Thorson, a lot of new players stepping up, and they have stepped up in a huge way. They've gotten way better, and the confidence is really showing. Dell Rapids coach Derek Genslinger, he said, if you're talking from last year, this year, again, the offensive execution on the offensive line has made the biggest difference in what they've been able to do this year, the number two team in 11A.
So in 11AA, we are excited. We know how to win. There is a lot of potential. Potential is a dirty word around here. That's football talk right there. The interesting part of AA is that no one is scary, and everyone is scary. I completely agree with that. It's as even as it's ever been. And again, I think we would both agree with that.
Yeah, I think all these coaches would agree with that.
The selflessness our guys have on defense, where they continue to do the job they are asked to do, whether it gets them the tackle or helps their teammate next to them make a play. I mean, I love that too. It's all about team football, that kind of thing. You know, can I just jump in here real quick?
Take a guess.
Okay, so if we're talking about the guys on defense jumping up and playing for your teammates, is that Drew Strand of here?
Yeah,
right. I got one.
All right, that leaves two. I'm going to let you take this one. Which one do you think Steve Steele said? Which one do you think Brady Muth said?
I think Steele is pretty honest about the realistic nature of the class. So I would say Steele would maybe say the interesting part about AA is that no one is scary and everyone is scary.
Boom.
Is that Steele?
Two for two. Okay. You're no C's get degrees. Let's go.
And then obviously Brady Muth was, they know how to win. They have a lot of potential, but potential is a dirty word around here.
Yeah.
So,
and that, that's exactly right. They are excited. They know how to win, but you're right. They have to get over that hump. And right now it's just potential.
Yeah, awesome.
Good stuff.
So 11AAA here. We got one more class to go. We've always talked about doing the small things on a day-to-day basis, but they are now putting the emphasis on competing. So we have the mindset to go 1-0, and hopefully that leads to success. We have two guys that run a 10-7 in the hundreds on the outside. Lucky, huh? have that kind of speed.
That's a good start.
Our defense, they're all quick and agile and have good hand violence. Ooh, hand violence, good.
Yeah,
they're looking for takeaways, and we have rugged kids up front. Man, football coaches, man, I love it.
I know. So we've got Jared Fredenberg, Matt Christensen, Ryan Evans. You know when you're using words like hand violence and rugged, we're talking about Matt Christensen, because he has a command of the English language and can really do a good job of explaining what his players are going through. So that one was easy. And then we talk about, you know, the mindset improvement. That's been Washington this year. Their mindset, they feel different as a team. That's what Ryan Evans continues to tell me. And they have not, you know, after a rough start, they have not given up. This is a team that is improving, and hopefully it does lead to success. And then two guys on the outside that run a 10.7. I mean, I just extracted that out of a longer quote from Jared Fredenberg, but I thought it was interesting because not many players or not many teams have players like that can make plays, and they've got speed for sure.
Well, I mean, I think this was fun to kind of go through and,
you
know, we always hear, you know, if you're on, the, you know, if you're watching the news at night and stuff, or it's a press conference, the coaches are going to give you that, the fluff talk a little bit, with
a
little bit of honesty.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun to get some of the, I mean, these are just like
the
guys, these are guys
nuggets.
That have just been around the game and understand what it takes to not just win games as a coach, but to mold high school kids into being successful.
And that's what it's all about for all these guys. And more coaches I talk to, the more I get that same message, is that wins and losses are important, but, you know, teaching these kids to be better human beings is really the goal. And these guys have done it. So thank you to all the coaches that stay in touch with me. It really helps me out.
Awesome. Well, as always, before we say bon voyage every week, we need to go through the top tilts for the week. Can I start with one right away that I'm kind of excited about? And that's Brandon Valley versus Sioux Falls Lincoln in 11 AAA. You're going to be there for that, right?
Yeah. Championship rematch. You got the best offense against the best defense.
Could it be another champ? You know, could be a championship
preview.
So I think that one's one that I kind of want to just jump on right away, just because I think that one's going to be incredible.
It's going to be outstanding. I think Sioux Falls Lincoln runs the ball better than we think, and I think that could be a key for them. We know they could pass, but this defense of Brandon Valley is like a different flavor. So we'll see how they do against the Lynx, and starts a little early, 6:30 game. If you have a chance to go out and check it out.
And then you got Pierre that's going up a class this week to take on O'Gorman in 11 AAA. Pierre now just came off that loss to Yankton in devastating fashion. Now they've got to regroup and go play a team that's in an upper class. So Steve Steele's going to have his work cut out for him this week.
He is. And O'Gorman, you know, it's homecoming, and their head coach, Jason Papaga, used to coach in Pierre before Steve Steele came on, and he won a title for Pierre before Steve Steele came on the scene. So there's a little connection there. Yeah, two excellent teams, excellently coached teams, maybe two of the best head coaches we have in the state.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a fun one to watch. Yankton going across the state to take on Sturgis. This is a tough test for Yankton just because of the travel, and Sturgis is a pretty good team.
Yeah, Sturgis is still a pretty good team, really good skill positions. Yankton, you know, they've found a way to win in some of these games, and some games they are able to just blow people away. I think this is going to be one of those close ones in Double A.
West Central against Del Rapids. This is another one that I think we're going to all have our eye on.
I think this is going to be a tremendous game, and both of these head coaches are young head coaches. You know, Matt Thorson has done a great job with West Central so far this year. He says that Del Rapids is big and physical, and again, it's going to come down to the line, and then you got to talk to Derek Genslinger, and the exact same thing. West Central is big and physical. It's going to come down to the line play. So watch the line play on this one.
Clark Willow Lake is going to be taking on Duel. Duel just had that really thrilling end to their game here this past week, and now they got Clark Willow Lake.
And Clark Willow Lake wants to get on the board, and they're not far away. So that this is, I think, one of these teams that wins this game is going to get a lot of confidence going forward.
And if you're Knable with Wagner, you're looking to bounce back this week and bounce back against Elk Point Jefferson. That would, you know, this is obviously one we talk about 11B and all of it that it has to offer. Oof, man, I mean, this one could be interesting.
This is the type of team, though, in Wagner that might give Elk Point Jefferson some problems. So help us out.
And then you've got Hill City, which we've talked about. They're going to be taking on Phillip.
And I just can't wait to see how they evolve. It was a little tighter game than they wanted to be in last week. So we'll see if they bounce back with a big win against Phillip.
And then we got the Platte Geddes helmet there. So we got to talk Platte Geddes. They're going up against Parkston.
Yeah, and Platte Geddes put up 64 last week. Parkston put up 70. We'll see if there's some defense optional in this game. No, I think this is another great test for both these teams. An undefeated Platte Geddes team against a ranked team in 9AA. This is going to be one of the best games of the year.
And then you got Centerville, a team that we were talking about really early in the year with some of the cool things that they had going for them. And they've got a big test this week up against Freeman Marion. Freeman Academy and Coach Cheddar's team. So these are the top tilts that we have for the week. I mean, I'm hoping we're sitting here next week talking about some of the thrilling endings again.
Yeah, no kidding. That was fun.
Just because it is a lot of fun when we can go through some of those cool things. So, yeah, good show, Jandy.
Yeah.
It's always a privilege working with you.
Same to you.
All All right, he's Jason Andera. I'm Nate Weck, and this has been Game Time on SDPB.